your Bibles tonight to the book of Ezekiel 47, please. Couple. The brother asked me if he had a title, and I told him as I came in there, I said, I didn't even know what I was going to preach yet. I don't really know what I'm doing sometimes. Sometimes I'm weary of all these men that always know what they're doing, because I seem to don't know what I'm doing half the time, especially getting messages together. I don't know how easy it is for some preachers, but it's a hard one for me. Ezekiel 47, we pray this might be a help to somebody here. Ezekiel 47, and I'm going to read one verse in verse 12. Ezekiel 47, 12. By the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all the trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. Doctrinally, brother, you know the portion of scripture is speaking about the millennial kingdom. It's talking about trees, if you will, and these trees are planted by the river of life here, and the river will flow during the millennial kingdom with the reign of Jesus Christ. And Ezekiel 47, it's part of Ezekiel's vision, brother, of the future temple. God's river flows from it. It'll be a wonderful sight to see that someday, don't you think? Here you see the picture of God's abundance and his healing and the spiritual life that comes from the presence of God. That river pictures the life-giving flow of God's Holy Spirit. I'm thankful when I got saved, I didn't have to worry about losing my salvation. God planted his Holy Spirit inside of me. Amen. I can never lose my salvation. Bible says my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, for I and my Father are one. But these trees here are a picture of the fruitfulness and blessings that result from being planted near God's presence. But there's nothing better than being in God's presence in prayer. There's nothing better than not knowing what you're doing, and the Holy Spirit will feed your soul and show you something about yourself and show you something about your life and give you direction and guidance, which you couldn't guide yourself, but thank God the Holy Spirit can give you the guidance you need. Here, I believe what this scripture's telling spiritually. I know what all the doctrine is, and sometimes we can get caught up in all that and all the future things, but you know, there's a lot of this scripture got to be practically applied. I think so many times, brother and sister, we miss out on those things in our life where we got all the knowledge down, but we don't have all the wisdom down. It's a difference about knowing something and understanding it. A whole lot of people know what it is and what it says, but they don't understand what it means. When you can understand the Bible, you can apply it to your life, and it could change your heart and change your life. Brother, when it changes your life, it'll change your direction, changes your attitude. It changes up everything on the inside. Well, you're not living your life for yourself. You're living your life for Jesus Christ, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's never been about us, it's always been about him. And our reason for our living is, and our being is supposed to be Jesus in us. But I believe not only it pictures the presence of God, but it pictures meat and it pictures food and nourishment we receive from applying God's word to our heart. Psalm 92:12 says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, he shall grow like a cedar near Lebanon. Jeremiah 17:8 says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the rivers of waters that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And then in Revelation 22:2, it says in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare many fruits and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And I thought about that. And I just kept having this thought in my mind about God's medicine. If there's something that we need God's medicine. Look at the end of that verse there. It says, and the fruit therefore being meat, and the leaf therefore the medicine. I want you to notice this about this tree. The fruit of these trees are for meat, but the leaves are for medicine. And that's God's medicine. You know, the word medicine shows up in your King James Bible 4 times. You know, this tree gives God's medicine. And I want to preach tonight on God's medicine. I want to help you. This has really helped me, and I pray it'll be a help to you. Let's pray. Our Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit would teach. We pray, Lord, you'd show us something out of our own self, Father, that's maybe not on the right spot. And I pray, Father, that you'd do a work that we can't do. Speak to each heart, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. God's medicine. I don't know if you've taken medicine before. I'm sure you have. You know, medicine can come in all kinds of forms. It can come in pill form. It can come in liquid. It can come in a shot. You can give medicine in a spoon. But medicine is used to prevent and treat sickness. You know, God's medicine treats and prevents spiritual sickness. You know, spiritual sickness is the worst kind of sickness. You know, your prayer lists are full of people that got heart disease and cancer and Alzheimer's disease and blindness and problems with their eyes, problem with their ears, you know, problem with their walk, problem with their blood, problem with their stomach. They're full of those kind of things. But I think the worst kind of sickness that any of us can have is spiritual sickness. You know, I remember in our church in Ohio, they used to be where they'd have prayer requests for somebody that's spiritually sick. People who don't say that anymore, you know, it's all about cancer and it's all about diabetes and it's all about heart problems. But the worst kind of sickness that you can have, Christian, is spiritual sickness. But I believe God has his medicine. There are different types of medicine. You got the Word of God's a medicine. He'll give you a preacher to help dispense that medicine. Sometimes a good friend can be a good medicine to you. Sometimes the best kind of friend you got are people who tell you what you don't want to hear. You know, the Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. That's what a friend will do. The Holy Spirit sometimes a good medicine to convict you and show you something about yourself, speak to your heart about a particular thing in your life, or maybe God's trying to put a finger on something in your life, in your heart. He's trying to get through to you about something. You know, that Holy Spirit's a good medicine, I think. That medicine, sometimes good medicine is a good church, and I believe you got a good church here. The Holy Spirit's trying to get you to take some medicine, I think, maybe. Maybe this evening, God wants you to take some of his medicine. Chastisement in our lives sometimes is a good medicine for us. You know, a song or a testimony that somebody might give in a church, or a woman or a man that's been through some things, that's had some struggles and troubles in their life. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, that's a good medicine. Medicine is not usually good going into the mouth and down the throat. How many times have you had to drink Robitussin? Man, that's like drinking motor oil, man. I mean, I don't like Robitussin, but it sure could cure a cough, won't it? Some of the things that we don't like to take usually are helping us. You ever think about that, Christian? How many times have you had something in your life, somebody told you something that maybe you didn't like, and maybe it's just what you needed? You know, sometimes medicine stops the problem. You have to remember when you hear preaching here, It doesn't matter who's preaching here. It doesn't matter if a little kid gets up here in the pulpit, reads scripture, or some little child's trying to stutter herself through a verse of scripture and tries to give you some help from God. It might be the medicine that you need. You know what? God wants to give you medicine to help get you clean and get you healed. I think the Lord Jesus Christ has that medicine. Thank the Lord we have some medicine that we need, brother. Preaching ought to be a spiritual medicine for us. It's spiritual medicine. It's something that helps us. It's something that might hurt us first. My mom used to say sometimes the best type of medicine is being hurt first, and then God can heal you. That's pretty true, I think. But you know something? You got to take medicine sometimes. Thank God the Lord's got some medicine for us. And this medicine is always good. You never have to worry about God giving you the wrong kind of medicine. God's medicine is good. I think about all the God's medicine. Maybe it's not palatable, but it'll sure help you. Think about it. I want to give you four things real quick about God's medicine tonight. I want to help you. First of all, take the medicine if it's prescribed. You know, in real life, my understanding is only a doctor or a nurse or a medical practitioner can give you medicine. You think about that tonight. Just not some Joe all blow off the street and give you medicine. Now, they might give you medicine, but it might not be what you need. Look over at Matthew chapter 9. Notice where medicine comes from. Matthew chapter 9. Verse 10, please. Matthew 9:10. Came to pass as Jesus sat in the meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, disciples, what eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, notice what he said. He said unto them, they that had be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And then he says, but go ye and learn what that meaneth, and I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I'm not called to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You know, Jesus Christ is a great physician. Jesus Christ is the only one qualified, I think, to give the medicine. He's the only one qualified to write the script of that medicine that you need in your life. You know, anybody can give you a script. It doesn't matter who gives you the medicine as long as God has written that script, don't you think? It doesn't matter if you're a young preacher or who knows everything, or you're a gray-headed preacher that you can't tell him nothing. Amen. You know, a kid will get up here and say some wild stuff. You know, sometimes it's not the messenger that you got to be worried about, it's what's behind everything. That's why preaching is so important. That's why it's important. Why? Because it's God's medicine for you. No matter who gives it. No matter if it's your favorite preacher or the one that's not your favorite preacher. The main thing is that you receive the prescribed medicine that God gives you. Because that's what God wants for your life. That's how God's going to change your heart. That's how God's going to change your direction. That's how God's going to get a hold of some things in your life and upend some things that are not right there. And he's going to drive some sin out of your heart. What matters to you is it's the truth. It doesn't matter who gives it out if it's written by the script of God. Doesn't matter where it comes from. If they're younger and if they're older, it doesn't matter if they know more Bible than you or less Bible than you. That has nothing to do with it. If the script is right and the script comes from the Lord, doesn't matter who tells you to do it, you ought to do it. Doesn't matter whether they're saved and lost. You know, I've had unsaved people say things to me out of the blue. Have you? You've been reading your Bible and praying and just trying to get close to the Lord. I've had unsaved people say some of the craziest things to me, just off the wall. And God used them to tell me something. It was God's medicine being sent my way. You know, sometimes God will send people that you don't like to tell you things. I remember we had a building, we built a first ever pole building in the former Soviet Union. Those Russians were just amazed. I had 50 people outside of our land. I bought some land over there. I had 50 of these Russians standing outside that place. They were just enamored, because for a Russian, it takes 20 years to build one building. Because they'll gather money for this and gather money for that, gather cinder blocks, start to build a little bit. They'll live in the basement and cover it up with a tarp. But you know, to you to build a pole building in 9 days. Well, there was about 12 construction workers, and one of the construction workers was a multimillionaire construction guy, and I don't know if he was saved or not. And he was screaming people at the job, and I had to tell him, don't scream at people. We're Christian people and all this stuff. But he was kind of commanding the job. And at night, he had one of these phones. We didn't have a cell phone in those days, but he had one of these big old, looked like a cell phone with a big old knob on the top of it with a big antenna. And he's up at 1 and 2 o'clock. He's cussing like a storm, like a sailor in the other room. And I could hear him talking like that. I didn't say anything. Well, that morning we got up. We had to get up at 5:30. We didn't get done until 10 o'clock. And we were gathering rocks and stones and stuff to build that foundation of that church to be able to put those pole building up. And I'll never forget, after 10 days of building that building and having that thing up, we had a whole church full of people there. We had to take them to the airport. So we all piled in my van. I had a little Volkswagen van, and then one of my men had a Russian van. It was an old rickety Russian van, and I'm known for putting my pedal to the metal, you know. I got into that thing, and I took off. Well, they all piled in, and that rich businessman, he piled into that other truck where it was an old Russian thing, and it was just putting along. And I got to the airport about 20 miles away. I got to the airport first, and I'm sitting outside, and I'm waiting for him, and they're not coming. Man, the flight's going to be late, you know, and everything. Finally, they pull up, and this guy runs out of the car. And all the people around me, and he says, "You selfish!" And he cussed me out to no end in the middle of that. He said, "You're selfish. You should have waited on us. Why did you leave us behind? We could have been late on our plane flight here." And I said, "Yes, sir. You're right. I was selfish. You were the truth. You did say the truth." And there was a couple men come up after the service, come up and said, "Hey, we're sorry for the way he talked to me." I said, "No, he was right. I was selfish. I should have waited on them." You know what that was for me? God's medicine. I didn't think it at that time that was God's medicine, but that was God's medicine. That was God's medicine for me. But if I looked at it like, what's he to say to me? I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. What's he saying this kind of thing to me? Why is he saying this? Why is he trying to hurt me? But what I didn't realize was that was God's medicine. I want to encourage you tonight. There are people who may have the wrong attitude and the wrong spirit, and they might get into your business and they have 10 times things more wrong than you. But if God allows them into your life to tell you a truth about you, you're to say, "You're right, and I'm wrong. Thank you." Don't bow up to those kinds of people. They got more things wrong with them than you do. But guess what? That might be God's medicine for your heart. Let me ask you something. If the pharmacist wrote out the right script, what happens if you don't take it? You keep getting sicker and sicker and sicker. I don't care if that pharmacist is mean to you and looks cross-eyed at you and doesn't say hello to you. He's giving you the medicine that you need. You just need to take it. Amen. Isn't that the way God is? I believe that's the only way we can be healed in our land. That's the only way our families can be healed is sometimes taking God's medicine. The only way our marriages can be healed, the only way our relationships can get better is if we let God's medicine heal us. Our job and my job is to say, "Thank you, you're right." I wonder, have you taken the medicine that God's prescribed? Not only do you take the medicine if it's prescribed, but number two, you take the medicine when it's prescribed. Look over at Exodus chapter 8, please. Exodus 8. And I want to give you an example of that. If you go to the pharmacist, you have to get it. You have to start taking the medicine. Exodus chapter 8. I'm going to read a familiar story, but I think you understand when I get done what that means. Exodus 8. And look at verse 9 and 10, please. 9 and 10. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants, for thy people, to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, say it, tomorrow. He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there's none God, none like unto the Lord our God, and the frogs shall depart from thee and from the houses, from the servants and from the people that shall remain in the river only. Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out in the houses of the villages and out of the fields. Don't be like Pharaoh tonight, Christian. He's got frogs everywhere. They're in the bed. They're in the car. They're in the house. They're in the bathroom. They're all over the place. And Moses said, you want me to get rid of these frogs? You know what he says? Tomorrow. He chose to spend one more night with the frogs. He could have got immediate relief. You know what happened? Pharaoh didn't want to take the medicine. How many of us Christians get in a mess in our life, get out of the way with God, don't have the right relationship with the Lord when God's trying to give us the medicine that we need, but we just won't take it? You see, there's frogs everywhere in this story. Why is it we want to spend one more night with yourself in our spiritual sickness when you can get some help today? Go to the pharmacist and get your medication filled. Sometimes there's nothing to pray about. We say, I'll pray about it. I used to tell my kids, my wife used to joke about it. She said, he's going to say he's going to pray about that, which means he ain't going to do anything. But that shouldn't be the truth, should it? We should just say, Lord, I'm going to take the medicine, not tomorrow, but today. So take the medicine that's prescribed. Take the medicine when it's prescribed. But number three, take the medicine that is prescribed. You know what I've learned? You just don't take other people's medicine. You know, when I was in Moldova, when we first got over there, we took all the medicine with us. We took ibuprofen and all that and aspirins and everything. And kind of, you know, we were going to a place, never had anything. When we got there was no meat. They'd kill a hog once, all the livestock once a month. And then you went down to the local bazaar and you had to bag it. So my wife would come home, we have to drain all the blood out of it and everything. Didn't have those things in those days, and especially medicine. And I remember I had high blood pressure. My blood pressure was about 180 over 80. I don't know why all independent Baptist preachers got blood pressure problems, but I had blood pressure problems. So I go to the doctor, and the guy says, how long have you felt this way? I said, well, I don't feel bad. He said, do you ever get upset? I said, a lot of times. He said, you stressed out? I said, yes, I am. He said, you ever been depressed? I said, yes, I have been. So he takes my blood pressure and he says, I'm going to give you a bunch of medicine to take, and I want you to take all the medicine I give you. I said, okay. So, man, I get out of that doctor's visit, man, I got a little baggie full of medicine. So I get up on the trolley bus and I get home, and my wife said, well, how'd it go? And I said, they gave me all this medicine to take. And so she looked at it and she said, Paul, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure you're going to have to take all that medicine? I said, yeah. He said, I got to take it. On every package, he had take two times a day or take three times a day or take every morning or take it after you eat. He had everything marked out. So sure enough, my wife said, hey, we better look this up. So we had a Moldavian dictionary, so we got up, and it took us a couple hours to get through it. And come to find out, man, when I got through it, he gave me birth control pills. Can you believe it? Had pills for gynecology. And my wife said, "That thing ain't going to help you. Just throw that in the garbage." My point is you can't take other people's medicine. You got to take the medicine that's prescribed for you. I wonder what kind of medicine you would take. You know what that tells us? We need to take the medicine God gives us. Look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. I was thinking of this example. Acts chapter 2. Verse 37, please. Acts 2:37. "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Ghost." You know, every one of them, brother, in that time, when Peter's preaching, they all heard the same message from Peter. Some were pricked in their hearts, and the Spirit convicted them deeply. But others in the crowd didn't respond the same way. You say, why? Medicine affects people differently. Look at verse 13, same chapter. "Others mocking said, these men be of new wine." Do you understand? They all heard the same message, but different results came depending on the heart's response. The Spirit convicts, but all yield, but all don't respond the same way. Hebrews 4:2 says, "For unto us is a gospel preached as unto them, but the word was preached not to profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You know, when I'm here preaching or somebody else is preaching here, you know what the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's going to deal with this person over here differently than he's going to deal with this person over here. He'll take the word I give you and what your pastor gives you. He'll stick the same teaching for everybody, and God will deal with somebody on this side of the church and on that side of church differently. I wonder tonight, are you taking the medicine that God has prescribed to you? Think about that. We had a guy in Moldova. He was a colonel in the Russian army. And every service he came for 6 months straight. And he sat with a stoic, he sat in a seat with all of his uniform on, and he just stared at me the whole time. And you imagine, it almost like burned a hole through me. It's almost like when you're preaching, there's a wall up in between people sometimes. But there was a wall up with this fella. Brother, after 6 months of preaching, I was teaching out of Job 38, out of something that didn't have anything to do with salvation. And you know what that guy was doing? He was weeping. There were tears coming down his face. And after the service, he came forward and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I thought to myself, what was it? What made you do it? He said, man, that scripture tore me up. And I thought to myself, it didn't tear me up. It didn't tear up anybody else. It tore him up. You know why? It was God's medicine. It was exactly what he needed at that time. It was something that was prescribed specifically for him. Are you thinking about that tonight? I wonder what God is doing in your life. I wonder what God's trying to change in your heart. I wonder tonight, are you receiving God's medicine? I don't know what the medicine God has for you tonight. I don't know what God's been doing in your life lately. I don't know what kind of experiences that you've been experiencing or things that have been happening in your family. But whatever it might be, maybe God's got that medicine for you to change something in your heart and life. Maybe what you need to do is start taking the medicine that God gives you. And let God worry about how to pay it, because he's paid it all. Some medicines are prescribed for you. Sometimes they're medicines of rebuke. You don't grow through exhortation, you grow through rebuke. Proverbs 27:5 says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Do you realize honest correction is more valuable and helpful than hidden affection? Look at Ecclesiastes 7, please. Ecclesiastes 7. Can you take a rebuke if somebody would give you that medicine? One of the ways you can tell whether a man will be a pastor or a preacher is if he can take a rebuke. Rebuke is one of the ways you teach somebody, because if they can take a rebuke, they can take about anything. Ecclesiastes 7, please. And look at verse 5. It's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Bible says a wise rebuke is more profitable than empty flattery. I wonder tonight, maybe God's trying to teach you through the medicine of rebuke. Sometimes maybe there's things that your pastor will say here that doesn't agree with your heart. You can do one of two things. You can get stubborn and rebellion with that thing. You can get proud and you can get hard-hearted. Or you can say, Lord, that's me. Help me, heal me, I need it. It's God's medicine. I need that for my life. Bible says in Proverbs 9:8, a reproof not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. You know, loving rebuke prevents sin and shows genuine care for others. Sometimes a rebuke, a young man today can't take anything. But you want to grow in the Lord, learn to take rebuke from people that love you. Not only a medicine of rebuke, but I think sometimes people need a medicine of exhortation. There are people here probably tonight, you don't need a medicine of rebuke. You need somebody to encourage you. There's a kid over in Ohio. His parents are both drug dealers. Lady's on crack. Dad's a pimp. You know what that kid needs? He needs love. He needs encouragement. There's some in here, maybe they don't need that medicine of rebuke. They need that medicine of love. You know what? It's just like that my mom used to tell me all the time, Paul, people don't want to know how much you know. They want to know how much you care about them. Amen. Do you love people? It's easy to love people that love you, but can you love people that don't love you? It's a hard thing to love people that don't love you, isn't it? That's why you need God's Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit will help you to love people that don't love you. Can you take that medicine? Can you take that kind of thing? You know, some people treat the Bible and preaching, they don't even like the medicine that they take. Not only do you take the medicine if it's prescribed, and take the medicine when it's prescribed, and take the medicine that is prescribed, but the last thing, take the medicine as it is prescribed. You got to take the correct dosage. Look at Proverbs 17, please. We had a lady in Moldova. She was kind of a hypochondriac. You ever met somebody like that? They take pills for everything. Well, she had about 30 bottles of pills in her house, and she said, Preacher, I need you to come over and pray for us. So I took the rest of the night off, went over, took a couple men with us, and we prayed over. I get in her house, and I said, Hey, what's the problem? She said, Man, I'm having some trouble with my back. I can't even sit straight. I said, Really? I said, What's the problem? She said, I don't know. I've been to the doctor. They can't figure me out. I've had to go to the chiropractor and all this kind of stuff. And I looked over on her table, she had 50 different bottles of pills. And I said, Man, I don't know if that's your problem. So he went back to the doctor and found out she had kidney problems. You know what she was? She wasn't taking the correct dosage for a few of them, and some of those pills that she was taking was counteractive to the other pills, and the other pills weren't doing the job. It was shutting down her kidneys. You know, you gotta take the correct dosage. Proverbs 17, verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth the bones. You know, this verse, I think, draws a parallel between a joyful heart and the effect of medicine. You know, there's correct times and days you're supposed to take medicine. Correct dosage. I believe the correct dosage would tell us about the right spirit, the remedy that brings healing and the emotional distress that, while emotional distress can cause harm. You know what they say about medicine? Don't miss your dosages. Take the medicine when you can. Think about it. God has some medicine for you. Sometimes it's three times a week. Sometimes it's twice a week. Sometimes it's every day. You get medicine coming here on church on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know why? You got to take the right dosage to get any help from God. Look at Ecclesiastes 3. Ecclesiastes 3, a couple scriptures, and I'll be finished. Verse 1. To everything there's a season and a time and every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace them, a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that, wherein it labor? You know, as you're talking about times for that, times for dosage, times for things. You know, people get flu, they start taking medicine, you know what they do? The doctor says, take the medicine until you're finished with it. But you know what people do? They take the medicine for a couple days, they start feeling good, and they quit taking the medicine. What happens? They start getting sick again. Maybe that's what you've been doing. You've been taking your medicine, but then you stop somewhere along the way and you quit taking your medicine. You quit receiving the truth. You quit reading your Bible and praying and applying that word of God to your life. There's some things you got to take every day. Prayer and reading your Bible and having fellowship and getting that medicine you need to feed your soul and keep yourself alert and have the energy to serve the Lord and have that power of God in your life to be able to get through things and get through your struggles and the trials and troubles. There's some things you got to take once a week. There's some things you got to take twice a week. Whatever it is, are you taking your medicine? You know the medicine you need and the amount God wants you to take. You know what my prayer is? My prayer is that we would take the medicine that God gives us. And tonight I want to ask you a question. Maybe God's trying to give you some medicine you don't like. I wonder, are you taking the medicine that God prescribed to you? Whatever that might be. Let's stand our feet for prayer.